So Acts chapter 2, we'll read from verse 37. Acts 2 verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we started a series on church membership. And I did say that particular morning, and I want to repeat it today, that I believe that this is a subject that has been neglected in many churches. It is important, it is scriptural, to be a member of a local church. Now, I'm not speaking about simply attending the church, because I know that people do say, oh, I'm a member of that church or the other church, and they attend it. And of course, we are so thankful and we're so glad that you attend this church. But we're speaking about official membership. We're speaking about actually joining the role of membership, as it were, in this church and in the local church. And it is scriptural. Remember the last day when we studied Acts chapter 9 and we looked at Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was converted, of course, on the road to Damascus. But later in chapter 9, we're told that he assayed to join himself to the disciples at Jerusalem. You remember the word assayed means he tried or he attempted to join himself to the disciples. Saul of Tarsus was trying to become an official member of the local church at Jerusalem. He was just saved a matter of days, but yet he realized the importance of being a member of the local church. And let me say today that after a soul has been converted, there is perhaps nothing more important to that soul than that they should join a local church, that they should come into close fellowship with a group of believers who believe the fundamentals of the Bible. How important it is. I wonder today, have you ever considered becoming a member of this church? Those of you who are not official members, you're not on the roll as such, you don't come to the society meeting, the annual meeting. I wonder, have you ever considered becoming a member? Have you ever considered, if I can put it like this, have you ever considered nailing your colours to the mast? Because if you are saved, you're entitled to become a member. If you know Christ, then you are a candidate. You can consider coming into membership. And you know, dear friends, even though we're living in a day whenever people, for the most part, don't really think about church membership, and sadly many don't see the importance of it, even though we're living in that sort of situation, even though we're living in that kind of world today, still it is of vital importance that you, if you're saved, that you nail your colours to the mast. And you know, there is no better way for you to say that you are saved, that you're one of Christ's children, that you're one of his followers. There's no better way for you to do that than to become a member of the local church. Yes, I know that the all-important matter is, are you a member of the Church of Christ worldwide? The great, unified, universal, one church of all who are saved from all countries right across the world. Yes, that's the all-important matter. But next to that, there is the important matter of becoming a member of the local church. And there is great blessing in being a member of the local church. Oh, the fellowship. Oh, the joy. Oh, the unity. Oh, the encouragement of joining with other believers in membership. Oh, the joy of being a part of that wonderful membership, being a part of that wonderful group, if I can use the word. That wonderful community of believers. And each one knows Christ. And each one knows the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And each one believes in the fundamentals of the faith. There is great blessing in becoming a member. And just to recap again from what we said 2 weeks ago, you remember that we talked about the word joined. Saul tried to join the disciples at Jerusalem. The word join means glue. Saul wanted to be glued to the other believers, as it were. He wanted to have that close union with the other Christians. He wanted to come into that special relationship with the other believers at Jerusalem. Oh, he wanted to enjoy the fellowship and the joy that those people were experiencing. Saul didn't just want to be some sort of outsider looking in. He didn't want to be a spectator. But he wanted to be a part of that nucleus of the church there at Jerusalem. Oh, have you ever considered this important subject? Have you ever considered entering into church membership? Have you ever considered nailing your colours to the mast? You see, you're not nailing your colours to the mast of this church. You're not saying, oh, I'm now an independent Methodist, and isn't the independent Methodist church just great? No, that's not what you're doing. By coming into membership, you're nailing your colours to the mast of Christ, as it were, to his ship. You're identifying with him. You are pledging allegiance, yes, to this church, but primarily to Christ himself. You're pledging allegiance to him. And the church is the vehicle, the means by which you pledge allegiance to him. Your loyalty to this local church is really loyalty to Christ himself. Today I want us to consider the verses that we have read from Acts chapter 2. Because I believe that these verses teach church membership. I believe in Acts chapter 2, the verses that we've read at the end of the chapter, here we have the early church, the first believers, and I believe that we have here an organization that was structured, it was ordered, it was organized, and it was organized into an official membership. The first thing that strikes me is the phrase that's found in verse 41 and verse 47, and it's the phrase, added unto them, or as it is in verse 47, it's added unto the church, added to the church. Added unto them in verse 41, added to the church in verse 47. There you have membership. People were saved on the day of Pentecost. In fact, it was 3,000 people who were saved. And those 3,000 people were immediately added to the membership roll of the church. Yes, they had become members of the great universal church of Christ, which cuts across all denominational boundaries and boundaries of churches and countries. It cuts right across them. There are believers in different churches in different countries. If they're washed in the blood of Christ, they're all part of His universal church. Here were 3,000 people who had become, yes, members of Christ's church, but they were members of the church at Jerusalem. They were becoming members of that local church at Jerusalem. How do I know that they became members of the local church at Jerusalem? Because it gives us the exact figure. How did Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, how did Luke know that there were 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost? Somebody must have counted them. And they were counted as they came into membership, as they identified themselves with the local church in Jerusalem, as they became a part of that fellowship in Zion, as it were. Those 3,000 people, they were saved. And on the same day, they came into membership. Their names were added to the roll at the church in Jerusalem. And I don't know who did the writing or who took a note of all the names, but there was obviously someone. And it would have taken quite a long time if it was 3,000 people. There would have been a long queue. Now, next please. You want to come into membership? Name please. And they took a note of their name and the details and where they lived. Then that person moved on. They were now part of the church. Someone no doubt had asked them whether they believed in Christ and whether they were willing to repent of their sins and they were willing to have done with the past and follow the Savior. And they were brought into membership. And then the next person came along and their details were taken. And they were questioned and quizzed again and welcomed into membership. It would have been a long, drawn-out process. But the apostles, or whoever did it, they were prepared for it. Because they knew that the work of God must be done in an orderly way. The attitude of God for the work of God can't be, oh, it'll do rightly. Now, that sometimes that is the attitude in the work of God, and I believe that that has been a problem down through the years in church life, that sometimes the attitude has been, oh, don't worry about it, it'll do rightly. Just any old way, it'll do okay. No, the apostles were organized. They knew that the scriptures teach, let all things be done decently and in order. And so a note was taken, a record was kept of the 3,000 people who were saved on the day of Pentecost, and their names were added to the roll book of the early church. And I think it's very interesting that they were received into membership immediately after they were saved. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. You see, that's speaking about their conversion and their baptism. Of course, it's interesting that they get baptized immediately as well, but we're not speaking today about baptism. We're focusing on membership. And immediately, whenever they were saved, they were baptized. Immediately, without hesitation, without waiting, they became official members of the church. They didn't sort of say, well, I'll take a back seat and I'll just pray about it and I'll think about it and I'll ask for the Lord's leading and I'll ask God to guide and I wonder, does the Lord want me to become a member of the church? And let's just think about it for a few weeks. That wasn't their attitude. You see, these newborn babes, they came into the membership immediately. They wanted to throw their full weight in behind the work of God. And you know, there's no better way for you today in this church today, this Sabbath afternoon, as we sit in the house of God, there's no better way for you to support the work of Christ. There's no better way to show your loyalty to Christ. There's no better way to throw your weight in behind his cause than by becoming an official member of the church. Oh, how important the local church is. How important the church here in New Buildings is. How important the church in Limavady is. How important the church in Coleraine is. And the church in Omagh, Portadown, or wherever, right across the province. Individual local churches where believers meet together to worship the Savior. And by the way, if you don't believe in the importance of the local church, remember that most of the New Testament was written to local churches. Paul the Apostle wrote his letters to local churches. The vast majority of the books of the New Testament are written by the Apostle to local churches. The church at Rome, and we're studying that on a Thursday night, the book of Romans. The church at Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The church at Thessalonica, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and so on and so forth. Colossae, Galatia, Ephesus. These are all letters, epistles, that were written to local churches. And they were written to the membership of local churches. You see, the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, they were to be read to the membership of the church. So here in Acts chapter 2, we read that these 3,000 souls were added onto them. Added on to the believers, to the apostles. They were added on to the 120 who had been in the upper room since Christ had gone back to heaven. And these 3,000 souls were added to that 120. My maths isn't great, but I think I can add up 3,000 plus 120, 3,120. That was the church at this particular time. And then in verse 47, it's interesting to read, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord was saving people every day. After these 3,000 people were saved, that wasn't the end of it. Pentecost wasn't the end, it was just the beginning. And day after day, someone was being saved. But it's interesting to note that they were not only being saved day by day, but they were coming into membership. The Lord added to the church. What is the church there in verse 47? The church is that group of believers, that 3,120 who had already come into official membership. And every day, I don't know who it was, whether it was Peter or Andrew or John or whoever it was, but their hand was tired and they needed plenty of ink, because every day, oh, the message came, so-and-so has got saved. They're now a Christian. And they want to come into membership. They want to join the role of the church because they're saved and they know Christ. And they want to identify with the Savior. He has gone back to heaven. They can't see him in the body visibly, but they love him because he first loved them. And they want to be part of his church here at Jerusalem. John or Peter or Andrew, take a note of their name, and now that's where they live, and that's how they came to Christ. And now they would need to be encouraged, and they would need to be told about the services in the church, and they need to be told now that they're members, that they have certain rights, and that they are a part of the church in Jerusalem. It was happening on a daily basis. You see, we would love to see people saved on a daily basis, wouldn't we? Oh, that's our heart's desire. That's what we pray. Some people say, oh, well, that's pie in the sky. You're praying for the impossible. I know that we're praying for the impossible. But you see, the Lord specializes in impossibilities. With God, all things are possible. And so we continue to pray not only that souls would be saved, but that they would be saved daily. You see, this was the norm in the early church. By the way, we're abnormal today. The church in Ulster, the church in the West today, is living in an abnormal condition because souls are not being saved daily. But the norm that the Lord desires for his church is that souls would be saved every day. That's what happened in the early church. Verse 41, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were saved day by day, and they came into membership day by day. Of course, if you're not saved today, we don't receive you into membership. As a church, we have a policy. Our constitution makes it clear that only those who are born again, only those who know Christ as Savior and have been washed in his blood, it's only those who are eligible for official membership. But if you're saved, if you are washed in Christ's blood, if you are one of his redeemed, wonder, have you ever considered nailing your colours to the mast? Have you ever considered, how can I put it? Have you ever considered availing yourself of the privilege that these early believers did? They saw that it was a privilege to be a member in the church. And they saw that it was a privilege to be a part of the great work of God. What a privilege it was for these Christians to be a part of the cause of Christ. And it's a privilege for you to be a part of the cause of Christ today. If you're saved, if you're not in membership, oh friend, would you not like to be a part of this great privilege? Would you not like to have the joy of uniting in membership with those who are already in membership? And of course, we need to finish off. And of course, there's so many thoughts that come to us here in this portion. But the one that I finish off is the joy that we find here. The joy that we have in this portion. Because from verse 41 through to verse 47, you have a sense of the joy and the jubilation of these believers as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And in verse 45, and it tells us they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And I believe that when it speaks of all men there, it's speaking about the believers, all the Christians, those 3,000 or so believers that had come to faith in Christ and they were members of the church. I believe that it's speaking there about them. And you see, the idea is that all of those members of that local church in Jerusalem, they were all looking out for one another and they were helping one another. And if someone needed food or a roof over their head, well, the other believers would come along and they would seek to provide for them. And you know, it wasn't a case of everybody being isolated and, you know, coming once a week to a certain place to worship and that was the end of it until the next week. That's not the way it was. You see, they had fellowship right throughout the week on a daily basis and they were worshiping together and they were encouraging each other and they were helping each other in a practical way. There was welfare, we could say. But it wasn't so much welfare for everyone, for the world at large, but it was specifically welfare for each other, for the other believers. You see, you know, people today and churches are so taken up with charity and charity for the world and for the unsaved. And I know that that has its place. But here in Acts chapter 2, the primary responsibility in a practical sense was that the believers should care for the other believers, for the other Christians in their fellowship, the other Christians in their local church. Charity begins at home. You've heard that phrase. And that's a very true saying and a very important saying for the local church. Charity must begin at home. Oh, before we donate to this charity or the other charity, let's, as it were, donate to the charity here in New Buildings, to this church. Let's seek, before we would go to the world and would seek to help outsiders, let's make sure that we help each other, that we encourage one another. But the joy that they had as they looked after each other, as they cared for each other, as they worshipped together. And verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. You see, there was joy here. There was rejoicing as they experienced unity and as they had communion. The breaking of bread. And it's interesting to notice here that as they had their communion, that it wasn't even in one location, in a centralized location. It was day by day in people's houses that they remembered the death of Christ. You see, the believers here, the church, were having communion services every day. You know, we have it, we try to have it once a quarter here in the church. But you see, the early church, they had it every day. Breaking of bread. We only have it once a quarter. I know there's a whole debate, there can be an argument over how often you should have the communion service and how often you should break bread. I know that there are churches and fellowships and groups that meet every week. It's part of their Sunday worship. I know that, but then there are others who have it less frequently, like ourselves. Now, that's not the all-important issue, but the all-important issue is that we have it. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is that if the early church had it on a daily basis, they had communion every day. If we only have it once a quarter, surely every one of us who are members should be there. Surely it shouldn't be so difficult for us to make the communion service next Sunday morning. Oh, the joy that they had meeting day by day, remembering Calvary and praising God, verse 47, having favor with all the people. And the inevitable outcome was that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, do you want people to be saved every day? Do you want to see revival again? Do you want to see the church built up? Is your answer to that question yes? will then go through with God. Trust and obey. You see, every one of us, of course, if we're truly saved, we'll say, yes, Lord, I want to see revival. I want to see your work revived and built up again. And yes, Lord, I want the church today to get back to the New Testament norm whenever people were being converted every day and they were being brought into membership and they were coming into official membership every day. Lord, I want to see that day. Yes, Lord, in my heart of hearts, I want to see your work go forward. And then the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.